Palm Sunday is, in many ways, a cautionary tale about human choice. We want to be in charge of our life, to choose what we do and who we will be. When Jesus comes to Jerusalem riding on a donkey, we, with the crowds, choose Jesus as our king. We lay down our cloaks before his feet. We wave branches of victory in his honor. We shout, Hosanna, which means save us. We choose Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we choose well. But within a week, we, like the crowds, will have second thoughts about our choice. Just as the serpent in the Garden of Eden gave Adam and Eve the opportunity not to trust God, but to choose for themselves what is good and evil, so too each day Satan invites us to choose for ourselves something other than Jesus. How quickly we can change our minds. How quickly our wisdom turns to ash. Today, the lector and the assisting minister will read Matthew 26:14 through Matthew 27:31. I invite you to remain seated throughout the reading, and periodically I will intersperse commentary about what we choose instead of Jesus. And then I will remind you that no matter what we choose, Jesus chooses us. And then I will invite you to join me in singing a verse from Tree of Life and Awesome Mystery, which we will do now. Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12 disciples. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I." He replied, "You have said so."
We are offered Jesus, but we choose money. Like Judas, we are offered a relationship with Jesus and with his disciples, relationships which can care for us, encourage us, and give us life. But relationships are messy. They require give and take. They require the vulnerability to ask for help and the inevitable disappointment of others. In comparison, money seems so easy. When we have it, it seems to give us what we want. We don't have to be nice to money or worry about its feelings. We never disagree with our cash, and we know exactly what it can do for us. It seems like it's there to serve us, but how quickly money becomes our master. Like Judas, we choose money, but Jesus chooses relationships. Jesus knows the pain that Judas will bring to his life, and yet Jesus calls him to be a disciple. Jesus knows Judas has sold him out, and yet Jesus invites Judas to dinner. Jesus knows Judas will betray him, and yet Jesus shares a bowl with his betrayer. Jesus chooses to have a relationship with each and every one of us, not because we are easy, but because he knows our worth. We choose money, but Jesus chooses us. So let us sing.
From the dawning of creation, you have loved us as your own. Be with us through our temptation, make us turn to you alone. Make us turn to you alone.
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to him, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike, and the shepherd of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples.
We are offered Jesus, but we choose self-righteousness. As he does to Peter, Jesus tells us our sins, our failures, our participation in what is wrong with this world. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear that we are good people. And if Jesus won't say it, we'll say it for him. We'll put up yard signs and sport bumper stickers and post on social media to tell the world that we are on the right side of the issues. But will we sacrifice for the sake of those issues? We'll see. What's important that people see that we are good, and we are certainly good at talking the talk. Like Peter, we choose to talk the talk, but Jesus chooses to walk the walk. Jesus breaks bread, telling his disciples that he gives them his body, and within 24 hours he will die for their sake. Jesus shares a cup and calls it his blood of a new covenant, a new promise from God, that Jesus' blood poured out will be for our forgiveness. Within a day, Jesus will be crucified, and he will forgive even those who nail him to the cross. Jesus calls himself the shepherd of his disciples. And even when he knows his flock will flee from him, he tells them where they can find him again, in Galilee, where they first walked together. Because Jesus always walks the walk, and he always walks it with us. We choose self-righteousness, but Jesus chooses us. So may we sing.
Light of life beyond conceiving, light Spirit of our Lord. Give us strength to our believing. Give us faith to live your word. Give us faith to live your word.
Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you sleeping and taking your rest? Now the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Look, my betrayer is at hand."
We are offered Jesus, but we choose sleep. As he does to his disciples, Jesus asks us to stay awake with him, to pray with him in his grief. But that's hard. We don't want to see suffering, so we close our eyes. Seeing pain makes us uncomfortable, so we turn a blind eye. Yes, our friend is going through agony, but if we stay asleep, it won't be our problem. Like the disciples, we choose sleep, but Jesus chooses to stay awake. Jesus stays awake to the agony that awaits him. But Jesus also stays awake to the weakness of his friends. He asks them to stay awake twice. But when he finds them sleeping a second time, he lets them rest, and he prays by himself. He knows our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Even when we sleep through Christ's agony, he will still call us to rise with him, saying, "Get up. Let us be going." For Christ accepts God's will to save us with eyes wide open. We choose sleep, but Jesus chooses us. So let us sing.
First you lead and we shall follow, something through our steps may be. One with you in joy and sorrow, read the river you the sea, read the river you the sea.
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs, from the priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, what are you here to do?" Then they came there and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one with Jesus put his hand to his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back in its place. For all who take the sword will die by the sword. You think I cannot appeal to my father, and he will at once send me 12 legions of angels. But how would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen this way? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a rebel? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all of this has taken place, so the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled. Then all of the disciples deserted him and fled.
We are offered Jesus, but we choose violence. As he did to his disciples, Jesus taught us to turn the other cheek. That may sound good on a Sermon on a Mount, but we shrug and say that in the real world, the only way to get things done is at the end of a gun. When the chief priests can neither stomach Christ's words nor silence his sermons, they find a simple solution: use a sword. And we are more than ready to respond in kind. We have weapons, not just swords and guns, but words used to cut hearts and break spirits. Jesus doesn't defend himself, so we do. But it means murdering the very message of Christ. Like the unnamed disciple, we choose violence, but Jesus chooses peace. Jesus tells his disciple to put away the sword. Jesus would rather die than have someone die for his sake. Jesus would rather be taken away in chains than allow someone's soul to be chained to the sin of killing, even in the cause of Christ. When Judas betrays him with a kiss, Jesus does not curse Judas, but says, "Friend, do what you are here to do." For even with his words, Jesus chooses peace. We choose violence. Jesus chooses us. So let us sing.
Living water of salvation, be the fountain of each soul. Springing up in new creation, flow in us and make us whole. Flow in us and make us whole.
Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus, so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At least two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?
We are offered Jesus, but we choose convenience. As Jesus stood before the high priest, so Jesus stands before us, the embodiment of such wonderful things, love and sharing, forgiveness, and a heavenly Father. But these things require us to rethink our reality, and that is scary. So much simpler to explain Jesus away, to rationalize why we are right and he is wrong. We'll stick with what's tried and true, what's always done, even if it's built on lies. We hear something that supports our position and we share it. No need to fact check. If it fits what we feel, it must be correct. Like the high priest, we choose convenience, but Jesus chooses truth. Jesus refuses to say the words that will save him, refuses to deny his divinity. Jesus tells the truth that he is both the Son of God and the Son of Man. Jesus tells the truth that he comes to replace our fiefdoms with God's kingdom. That truth will cost him his life, but trusting it will save ours. We choose convenience. Jesus chooses us. So let us sing.
Give us eyes to see you clearly. Make us children of your light. Give us heart to live more nearly. Let your gospel shining bright. As your gospel shining bright.
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A female servant came to him and said, "You are also with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before all of them, saying, "I don't know what you're talking about." When he went out to the porch, another female servant saw him. And she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus the Nazarene." Again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly, you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse and swore the oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
We are offered Jesus, but we choose conformity. Jesus' disciples stand out. Peter's accent gives him away. He's not a southern boy from Jerusalem. He's from up north in Galilee. Just like Jesus. As followers of Jesus, the way we talk gives us away. Where others curse, we bless. Where others complain, we pray. Or at least, that's what we're called to do. But sometimes we don't want to stand out. Sometimes we don't want to explain why we are followers of Jesus, and so maybe we shift our speech. Our words become more worldly. We mask our Christian accent so that we can be accepted. In order to fit in, we forget about Jesus, just for a little bit. Like Peter, we choose conformity, but Jesus chooses unity. Jesus' disciples are not identical. They are not the same as each other. Some are fishermen, one is a tax collector. Most are northern Galileans. Judas is a southern Judean. The disciples are not the same as Jesus. Peter will deny Jesus, but Jesus will never deny Peter. Knowing this, Jesus calls Peter the rock of his church. Jesus calls all the disciples to belong to him. He calls them friends. Jesus knows their differences, and he knows ours. Yet we are one in his love. We don't have to hide who we are to belong. Jesus won't hide that he belongs to us. We choose conformity. Jesus chooses us. So let us sing.
In our call to be a blessing, may we be a blessing true. May we live and die confessing Christ as Lord of all we do. Christ as Lord of all we do.
When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money." And after conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of one on whom a price has been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price. And they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me.
We are offered Jesus, but we choose despair. Like Judas, we realize too late the consequences of our actions, and all we can see is catastrophe. We recognize that we put our trust in people who don't really care about us, and so we think that no one will. In our exhaustion, we have nothing left to give, and so we give up. We give up on God. We give up on life. Like Judas, we choose despair. But Jesus chooses dignity. No one is beyond Christ's power to save. Jesus has already forgiven Judas. Christ gave him his body and blood in the Last Supper. Jesus promised to see Judas in Galilee after his death. Jesus called Judas friend even as he was betrayed. If Judas could believe what Jesus told him, he would have lived. When we believe what Jesus tells us, we have life also. In Christ, there is no end that is not also a beginning, even death. The money that purchases Jesus' death is used to purchase a field in which to bury foreigners who have no one to claim their bodies. Every life is precious to Jesus. In Christ, even the saddest death is given dignity. We choose despair. Jesus chooses us. So let us sing.
Period, the truth unspoken, the past taught through act and word. Every person lost and broken, where's the body of our Lord? Where's the body of our Lord?
Now Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, "Are you King of the Jews? Jesus said, you say so. But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many accusations they make against you? But he gave him no answer, not even a single charge. So the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone who they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, who do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who's called Messiah? For he realized it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him word, have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him. Now the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? All of them said, let him be crucified. Then he asked, what evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, let him be crucified. So Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning. He took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. Then the people as a whole answered, his blood be on us and on our children. So he released Barabbas to them, and after flogging Jesus, handed him over to be crucified.
We are offered Jesus, but we choose Barabbas. Pilate offers two men to the crowd, two men with strikingly similar names. Both are named Jesus. One is Jesus the Messiah, the other is Jesus Barabbas. Bar means son of, Abba means father. Jesus Barabbas is literally Jesus, son of the Father. We are given a choice between two Jesuses. We choose not the prophet who overturns our tables of hypocrisy in the temple, but the bandit who targets our opponents. We choose not through our own discernment, but whomever our leaders tell us to pick. We choose plausible deniability, blaming others for our actions and washing our hands. We choose the Jesus who requires no accountability. We choose Barabbas. Like the crowds, we choose Barabbas, but Jesus chooses to be the Son of the Father. Jesus refuses to defend himself or to escape judgment. He chooses to accept the will of God, which is to choose us over life itself, to choose accountability for us, when we won't accept accountability for ourselves. For this reason, Jesus truly is the Son of God. We choose Barabbas, but Jesus chooses us. So let us sing.
God of all our fear and sorrow, God who lives beyond your death, hold us close through each tomorrow, love us dear as every breath, love us dear as every breath.
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
We are offered Jesus, but we choose choice. We choose to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. We choose to trust our own wisdom. We choose to place our fate in our own hands. Martin Luther once wrote, "I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess." We choose choice, but Jesus chooses to be our king. Jesus chooses to be our king not because kings are good, but because kings don't come with a choice. Even if we reject him, Jesus is our king, and he restores us. Even if we betray him, Jesus is our king, and he embraces us. Even if we kill him, Jesus is our king, and he gives us life. We can't elect Jesus as our king, and we can't unelect him. He simply is our king and only king. And he chooses to save us. We can claim we choose Jesus, or we can claim that we don't, but no matter what, Jesus chooses us. May we learn to trust in that choice and lift our hearts to him in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen.